Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Listening to Arcan, the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
As we move into the 8 o'clock hour here, it's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. It's nice to have you with us here tonight. I want to remind everybody that you can listen to the Christian Arcan Show podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcast, in case you want to go back and listen to what Chris Price had to say, or listen to me talking about Bob Ryan and his amazing Twitter streak that he's on right now. Just a generational run, the likes of which we haven't seen from a fella his age and maybe ever. Anyways, that's all available for you wherever it is you get your podcast. And if you're not in any of the places we are live on the air, you can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. It's the final hour as Boomer and Valente will be taking you from 9 until 10 o'clock. And then you won't hear from me again until football Sunday at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning, along with Ted and Mego and Scheim and Tommy Kern and Wiggy and Thomas Crucifulli behind the glass and everybody else, the whole crew there on Sunday. Should be a good time. In the meantime, let's go to your phones at 617-779-7937. Before headlines, Casper is in Worcester. My buddy, what's up, Casper?
Hi, Christian. Christian, words can't describe how terrific that World Series is.
Yeah,
I mean, the most exciting I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, I've got one concern on the Pats, and I just don't know what they're going to do for a real running back. I know Henderson is in a developmental stage. If you know, they need one. They need another running back, and maybe the market is that thin. I don't know. Everything you said about the NBA is absolutely spot on. And with that said, I'll let you go, and it's great to hear you again.
Thank you, Casper. Hey, Casper, before I let you go, you said this was the best World Series. You've seen a few World Series. Like, you put this over, like, Mazeroski and, like, some of the other, like, Joe Carter and some of those?
Yeah, well, they had great endings, but not every game was that.
It's true. Absolutely.
They never did. I was shocked how good it was. I was thinking about your lot on it and every baseball fan, and I said, This is the best. This is the best ever. There's no question about it. It's still incredible.
Yeah, it really was. Thank you, Casper. Good to hear from you, buddy. Let's go to Craig in the car. Hey, Craig.
With that said, I'll let you
Craig, can you turn your radio down, please? Craig, we're going to put you on hold. Got to be ready. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to Craig in just a moment, but right now let's get to our headlines.
These are the headlines.
All right, here's your 8 o'clock headlines. They both involve ex-NFL players, and they involve them in ways that they're probably not super proud of. I'm talking, of course, about Antonio Brown and Mark Sanchez, who are both in the news today, and both for reasons that you never want to be in the news for. Antonio Brown in particular, although you could say for both of them. I mean, we're talking about two guys. In Brown's case, I mean, we all knew Antonio Brown was a knucklehead. Mark Sanchez may be a little bit more surprising, but in case you didn't know, Antonio Brown has been brought up on attempted murder charges. And there are new details that have emerged in the case. U.S. Marshals arrested Brown in Dubai. They extradited him from Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, where he had been living. There was a warrant out for his arrest for attempted murder back in May. Brown had a lawyer secure a $10,000 bond and house arrest after the warrant, but he never turned himself in. He'll return to Miami from jail in Essex County, New Jersey, where he was placed after the arrest. He didn't contest his extradition during a brief court hearing. So this all started back in Miami. In March, there was some boxing event. There's a streamer named Aiden Ross, and forgive me, I know I sound old. I do not know who Aiden Ross is, and I don't know what he's famous for. Do you know anything about Aiden Ross, Joe Braverman? Does that name ring a bell?
I have heard the name, but I could not give you a biography.
Okay, well, you're the young person on the show, so I need you for help on the famous streamers, because I don't know. I don't watch the streams. I don't know.
I have no clue about any kind of streaming.
Okay, well, so. Thanks. all right, Aiden Ross was having a boxing event. I don't know if he was boxing. I don't know what was going on. But that's where this all happened. Antonio Brown went to the scene following gunshots fired outside the venue. An off-duty officer who worked the event left after the gunshots and said that he saw Antonio Brown fighting with another guy. People in the parking lot near the venue told the officers that Brown was the shooter. Officers then patted down Brown, finding no weapon, but they did find an empty gun holster and two spent shell casings. Brown was released later that night, reportedly went on social media, talked about how he got jumped with people trying to steal his jewelry. Miami police detectives secured video footage, which shows Brown punching another man, starting a fight, and then taking the gun from a security officer, running after the man that he hit. The warrant also says the cell phone video shows Brown going towards the victim and the victim ducking, which kind of flies in the face of the old alibi there. I watched the video. I didn't see him take the gun from somebody, but I saw him. There's like a group of people walking out, and Brown kind of snakes around them and charges out this door, and then the next thing you hear is bang, bang. And it didn't look like any kind of self-defense to me. And whatever it is he was trying to say. Now, one crazy thing that I heard is that the guy he was shooting at was the guy who, during the Kendrick Lamar halftime show, held up that free sedan, free Palestine sign. And then I think he got in trouble for that. It's that same guy. That's who was beefing with Antonio Brown. Which is just sort of a weird detail. It's not really indicative of anything, but it just happens to be. The guy's name is Zul Karnain Kwame Nantambu. He said that Brown shot at him twice, grazed his neck. He went to the hospital for wounds and identified Brown on the surveillance footage. They reportedly had a connection prior to the incident back in May. Nantambu, who was a jeweler, and Brown met on a flight to Dubai ahead of a Floyd Mayweather boxing match in 2022. Brown saw a chain from Nantambu he liked and he wore it, but he never gave the chain back. Brown then falsely accused Nantambu of stealing his jewelry, which saw him get arrested in Oman. He spent 4 days in jail before ending up in a Dubai jail, spending 40 days detained for the incident. He took Brown to court, wanting the chain he had returned and then for the damages during his detention. Brown is now facing a second-degree attempted murder charge that carries a maximum prison sentence of 15 years and up to $10,000 of a fine if convicted. Could face significant jail time here.
Or bring accountability.
If he's found guilty. Antonio Brown, if you've sort of followed his escapades during and after his football career, you can tell that's a guy who's just not all there. You know, like gone, you know, like off, like Britney Spears type gone. You know what I mean? Like should be in a conservatorship type of gone, but there's no way he ever will be. Completely out to lunch. I think a very clear case of CTE. Every once in a while, this video pops up on Twitter of Antonio Brown before that hit from Vontaze Burfict, which is probably the one that did this. Although he's a slot receiver. He took a lot of hits over the middle. Playing in the AFC North, I mean, listen, that's going to happen. That's a physical, tough division right there, and it has been for decades. But Antonio Brown used to be like a normal guy. Or he used to at least talk like a normal guy. He's not sounded like that in a long time. Now, physically, he's still, you know, he's playing with the Patriots. You could tell it was well in the throes of whatever this is. And even with the Bucks, he was still an effective player. He was still a good route runner. He still had good hands. He could still play. And the last thing we remember about him is him taking up his uniform and running off the field, burning every bridge that's ever been put in front of him. New England, Tampa, Tom Brady, everywhere. The Raiders, he hadn't even started with them. Forced his way out of town, and then when he was gone, was running around. I'm free, buddy. You didn't even get there yet. What are you talking about? You're free. Yeah, and I remember him in the early days, that Young Money group with, it was Antonio Brown, Mike Williams, Emmanuel Sanders, and Le'Veon Bell with Ben Roethlisberger. Oh, oh my God. It's a wonder that offense ever lost the game. I mean, they were, that was mad. The four of them were ridiculous. They put up crazy numbers for a couple years. And then they, you know, sort of split off, and Brown ended up being the best one out of all of them. It was, Williams was the best one for a while. He was considered like the main guy, like the go-to guy in that offense. And Brown and Sanders were like the possession receivers. Or Mike Wallace, I'm talking about, not Mike Williams, Mike Wallace. And, you know, Sanders went on to have a great career. Wallace ended up getting hurt. Le'Veon Bell kind of went a little stir-crazy himself, but nothing compares to Antonio Brown. I mean, Antonio Brown just went so far off the rails. It's kind of amazing that he was able to even move away. You know, like, he made a lot of money in the NFL, but, like, you could tell he wasn't spending it all that responsibly, and he stiffed a ton of people, and he was getting sued and child support and all this other stuff. And now could be going away for a long time for attempted murder. And on the subject of attempted murder, let's get to our next headline. Mark Sanchez out as Fox Sports analyst following his arrest last month. Mark Sanchez will not be returning as a Fox Sports analyst as the former NFL quarterback faces a trial stemming from his alleged attack on a truck driver, which happened last month. The real tragedy here is replacing Sanchez will be Drew Brees. No, I'm just kidding. But Brees is not a huge fan of his commentary. Fox spokesperson said, "We can confirm that Mark Sanchez is no longer with the network. There's no further comment at this time." Sanchez off the air since October 4th, the incident at the Westin Hotel in downtown Indianapolis. He was in town for the Colts-Raiders game, confronted a truck driver before allegedly attacking and injuring him. The truck driver stabbed Sanchez in the chest. Sanchez spent the weekend at a hospital. Trucker claims self-defense, has not been charged, and is suing Sanchez and Fox Sports for unspecified damages. Mark Sanchez's brother Nick Sanchez addressed Fox's decision and said, "While the recent news and its timing is understandably disappointing, our priority remains his continued healing and recovery. Mark deeply values his time at Fox and the exceptional colleagues he's had the privilege to work with. Those relationships are meaningful, and they will endure." Sanchez's trial will begin on December 11th. Prosecutors expressed doubt following an October 22nd hearing that it was a realistic date. Prosecutors have charged Sanchez with a felony count of battery involving serious bodily injury along with three misdemeanor charges, including public intoxication. Sanchez is free on bond, did not address the allegations after he was booked, saying he was focused on his recovery. If you remember the details of that thing with Sanchez, he was doing wind sprints in an alley outside of a bar late at night, which, I mean, naturally, our minds probably all go to the same place. He was on something. That's not just what a drunk guy does, you know? Like, I've never been so drunk that I was like, all right, clear out, everybody. I'm doing some wind sprints here in this alley at 2 a.m. or whatever it was. You know? And I agree, not everybody's the same. For example, some people are mean drunks, you know? They get drunk, they get mean. I'm the opposite. I get dry, I am happy as a clam. I am everyone's friend, and there's people like that, too. I'm not, like, special. I'm just saying, that's the type of drinker I am. When I'm out having a few, which isn't that often these days, but when I am, I'm making friends. I'm at the bar. I'm talking to people. And, you know, that's how it loosens me out. I just feel, you know, I feel a little bit better. And it's nice to be, and no offense, Joe, but I just talk to you all night. You know, I get to be out and talk to other people. It's nice. And that's a part of it. Some people don't drink like that. Some people drink and they turn real mean, real nasty. Some people can't just have one drink. You know, it's got to be until they're real drunk. Sometimes it's got to be until they're blacked out. I've seen the spectrum of it. I think it's when people talk about, you know, drinking habits, stuff like that, it's hard to say it's one thing or another. But I can tell you for sure, in my, you know, experience in the bar business and my own, you know, personal life, that at 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, a guy in his, what, how old is Sanchez? In his 40s? Late 30s? Doing wind sprints in an alley? 38 years old, okay. And then attacking a truck driver who was, I don't even know what the guy was doing. I mean, he was over there. I think he was supposed to, he was picking up, like, grease or something from the restaurant. Like, he was.
That's what I remember the story being.
Right, he was disposing of the grease or something like that. And he parked his car in this truck in a place that obstructed the alley that Sanchez was doing his wind sprints in, and Sanchez came over and started beating the hell out of the guy. Like, if you saw the pictures, of the truck driver, Sanchez caved his face in. Like, there's this big, like, almost, he looks like Two-Face. Speaking of Two-Face, Sanchez got woke up handcuffed to his hospital bed, just like Two-Face in the Batman movies. But this guy, I mean, Sanchez pummeled him before he pulled out the knife and started, you know, stabbing him, which, by the way, he's not getting charged for. And there is no piece of evidence anywhere that says that this was anything other than Sanchez's fault. Fox has decided to move on from him. I kind of thought they already had, so I was a little surprised to see this. But a real tough day here for a couple of ex-NFL guys who were contemporaries. They played at the same time and took very different paths in retirement, that's for sure. But all ended up in the same place. Pretty interesting. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Before we get to Joe Braverman and what's trending, let's get to some phone calls here. Craig is in the car. Hopefully he's ready this time. Hello, Craig.
Hey, sorry. You guys were too quick last time.
All good, Craig. What's up?
But it feels good to look forward to Sunday and have the Patriots in contention. They're looking good. I love the way that Drake is playing, but the lack of depth is a little scary to me. That's what I was hoping they'd build up on in the trade deadline. And the surprise to the Patriots is something that kind of, you know, leads the rest of the sports teams in Boston, because really it's kind of a little mediocre for everything else, right? And the Celtics in the pause year, Bruins full rebuild, and the Red Sox need to start spending some money, and I'm not sure that they're going to do that. So thankfully we have the Patriots to really focus on this year. And I actually think, given the weakness of the entire league, hey, we may see them back in the AFC Championship game. Who knows?
I think it's on the table, Craig. Thanks for the call. I'd say the Red Sox are more than mediocre. I mean, that was a big step in the right direction this past year, getting to the playoffs. I know they lost in the wild card, but like getting there after 4 years of pretty lousy seasons, some pretty tough slogs of seasons, especially in the second half. The second half and the down the stretch there, it got a little more touch and go than maybe it needed to, but it was exciting. You had Cleveland and their big charge in the Central against Detroit. You had Seattle knocking Houston right out of the playoffs. You had the Yankees going after the Blue Jays. I thought it was a good play. I thought it was a good postseason in general. And I thought it was a good year for the Red Sox. Definitely a step in the right direction. Celtics, you might be right. They're struggling right now with the Orlando Magic. And it's the worst jerseys I've ever seen the Orlando Magic have before. I don't even know what you call those things. But just brutal, brutal jerseys for Orlando.
I think they did change their logo. So, like, this is a regular for
them. Oh, it is? This is, like, their thing now? Oh, God. They should change it back. Because these jerseys suck. The Celtics are looking kind of iffy, that's true. Bruins are looking good right now. But again, I think it's a little bit miragey. Let's go to JP and MP before we get to trending. Hey, JP.
Arkan, you're here tonight. Thank God I turned in. I heard Mago. I went, uh-oh, deja vu from the dungeon days. But you're all with us.
I'm here, yes. And Mago and Lyons and KJ yesterday, I thought all did a bang-up job in my absence. Anyway, what's on your mind there, JP?
1975, Red Sox, Cincinnati. I'm an old guy. Best World Series ever. Done.
Okay.
Never mind the one that just happened. That's my favorite.
All right, JP. Thanks for the call. That World Series, a lot of people say that World Series saved baseball. It's true. Can't get into it now, but it's a whole thing. 1975 World Series, the World Series that saved baseball. People called it that. It was a great series, for sure. Fisk with the home run, I mean, it was great. Big-time star power, definitely. All right, here's Joe Braverman. He's going to get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, we got the Arcan Fire.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Final injury report is out for the Patriots as they'll head down to Tampa tomorrow to face the Buccaneers this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Running back Ramondre Stevenson out for a second straight week due to a toe injury. He did not practice at all this week. Neither did Kayshon Booty. He's out with a hamstring injury that he suffered last Sunday against the Falcons. And linebacker Christian Ellis has been ruled out as well, as an injury to his hip is holding him out. For the Bucs, receiver Chris Godwin, running back Bucky Irving, pass rusher Hassan Reddick, and linebacker Marquise Watts have all been ruled out. Offensive lineman Luke Getteke, who's on injured reserve, and Luke Haggard are both listed as questionable. The Celtics are in Orlando for the first of two straight against the Magic. It's also night two of group play in the NBA Cup, and at halftime, it's 59-51, Orlando on top. The leading scorer right now for the Celtics is Jaylen Brown and Peyton Pritchard. They both have 14 points apiece. On Orlando's side, Franz Wagner is the leading scorer with 15. In baseball, Japanese third baseman Munetaka Murakami is entering the posting system to become a free agent. Murakami owns the record in the NPB with 56 home runs in one season back in 2022. His 45-day window for MLB teams to sign him opens tomorrow morning. And in progress right now, Boston College Hockey is on the road. They're taking on the University of Vermont. You can listen to that game over on WEEI AM 850. And tomorrow, Boston College Football hosts SMU. The kickoff is at noon. Coverage here on 93.7 WEEI FM begins at 11:30. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
It's just about 8:30 here, Christian Arcan Show. Happy Friday, everybody. Because it's Friday, we don't get the normal 4 hours. Boomer and Valente will take you from 9 until 10, which means we're pushing everything up, which means it's time for the Arcan Fire.
It's time for Arcan Fire on the Christian Arcan Show. This is WEEI.
All right, I want to get things started with what we talked about in our pre-show meeting. Trying to figure out where we might want to fit this in, but maybe not Red Sox news, but maybe a Red Sox little alert regarding Tristan Cassis.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you saw his Instagram post, and for those that did miss it, David's going to throw it up on the Twitch chat, but essentially he says, if we're going to have any chance at something decent, it's stuff like this that needs to be addressed. Now it goes on and on. Brad Foe joined Jones and Keefe afternoons, and he said it could be linked to a possible signing of Pete Alonso. I know you did want a couple of minutes to talk about this Instagram post for Tristan Cassis, so what do you make of Cassis going to IG?
I thought that he was posting lyrics to a song. Honestly, that's what I thought was going on here. I thought it was because Tristan Cassis is kind of, he's a young guy. He's kind of like, you know, he's kind of out there. I thought he was posting lyrics from a song from, like, a band. Who's the band which my song Knows What You Did in the Dark? Who is that? Light 'em up, up. Who is that?
Oh, that's Fall Out Boy.
Fall Out Boy, like a Fall Out Boy kind of band. Because bands like that, like Fall Out Boy, have really weird lyrics and really weird names of their songs and stuff. And I thought, oh, Tristan Cassis is just, you know, channeling his inner Fall Out Boy. Who's it, Pete Wentz? Is that Fall Out Boy? Yeah, he's channeling his inner Pete Wentz right now. But I put it into the old Google machine because I don't want to be caught looking like an old square. Hey, what song is that? And it's not a song. If it is, it's one that's not, his lyrics are not on the internet. The entire caption reads, and if you're looking on Twitter, you can see it. It says, if we're going to have any chance at something decent, it's stuff like this that needs to be addressed. I'm going to try to be as transparent as possible, within reason, no delusion, just normalizing the tough conversation. Okay. And there's a picture of him, looks like looking at a home run that he just hit. I think it's against the Mariners. Did he hit a walk-off? Was this walk-off against the Mariners? I think it was. Looks like that's who it's against. I'm just based off the catcher and what the catcher's wearing. Okay. If we're going to have any chance at something decent, it's stuff like this that needs to be addressed. Is he talking about what's happening in the picture? Because if you need to address the fact that you didn't play very well last year before your injury, we can address that, I guess. If he's talking about something else, I'm going to try to be transparent, within reason, no delusion, normalizing the tough conversation. What tough conversation? What did they say to him? I don't think you go and tweet that without there having been some kind of backstory. Even for a guy who's weird like Tristan Cassis. And he's a weird guy. I don't think he's a bad guy. I just think he marches to the beat of his own drummer. And there's a lot of baseball players like that. That's not really that unusual. I mean, there's a lot of guys who play baseball who are just very high strung, and they're, that's just how it is. And he's not even super high strung. I think he's actually, for baseball anyway, kind of laid back. Like, at least he projects that. Who knows behind the scenes what it's really like. We see a little bit of that here and there, but it's hard to really, really know. Tristan Casas, before his injury, was hitting 182 with an OPS of 580. And it was early on in the year that he got hurt. I mean, he'd only played like a month. But he had a really, really rough start to the year. I mean, really just not good. And he wasn't alone. You'll remember a lot of guys on the team were having really... Trevor Story had a really tough start. Rafael Devers had a really tough start to the year. Like, it was not a great... They didn't hit the ground running, let's put it that way. Some people did. Willie Abreu did. Alex Bregman did. Some guys were good right away. But for the majority of the players, especially the ones who down the stretch ended up being super dependable, Yoshida wasn't even playing back in April. But I wonder if he's talking about the way he played. I wonder if he's talking about the team came to him and said that, we're going to be doing something else at first base. We still want you in the mix, but we're going to be trying to add at that position, which, by the way, they should. If Tristan Casas doesn't understand why that should be something that they do, and he can compete, like, if they're telling him, hey, we're going to move you, I don't think he makes this his caption. No delusion, normalizing the tough conversation. If we're going to have any chance at something decent, what do you mean it's something decent? If you're getting traded away, what do you care about something decent? You're off. If they're telling you that, then you're going to be off on another team, and you don't have to worry about something decent. I think maybe what the conversation was, based off of this, if I'm going to go to my Casas to English translator here, is that they told him, we're going to try and add at first base. You'll still be a part of the mix, and you can compete for the main role, but it's the Red Sox. I mean, what they're thinking. You know how they go about building their team. They have a lot of guys who are part-timers, part-time position players, platoon players. They go with the best roster based on the best stats against that pitcher or against, a lefty or a righty or whatever it is. And Tristan Casas, I think, has shown that he's not an everyday first baseman. Okay? I mean, that's what he's shown. Now, if they give him a chance to seize that back, great. If they sign Pete Alonso, then Pete Alonso is your first baseman, and Casas comes in when it's a really tough righty or when Alonso needs a break or something like that. That's perfectly normal. That's a good thing to do. I don't think that Casas has a ton of trade value at the moment based on the numbers I just gave you. And not for nothing, it's not like he set the world on fire last year either.
I think it's Rafael Devers' position.
And that didn't help him either. Chiming in on that, like, Tristan, no one really asked you that. No one really cares what you think about that. So how about you shut the bleep up, maybe? what are you doing? His WAR this past year was -0.9. Last year was 0.4. He was excellent in 2023. And that's his entire career. I mean, that's basically it. He had a cup of coffee in 2022, but that's basically it. That's all you have to go off from him. He's still very, very young. 25 years old, turns 26 in January. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy who should be hitting his prime years right now. And unfortunately, the injury was a big part of it. But last year into this year was just not impressive. It was not the step forward that this team was hoping he was going to make. And that's about all the time you get, even if you're young. Even if you're young and still not super expensive, that's basically all the time that you get. I think Tristan Casas, if they bring in somebody else, is probably going to be kind of bitchy about it, like he was with the Devers thing, which wasn't even about him. Now it's going to be him and his playing time. I think it's going to get worse. I don't think he's going to react to it well, and I think these hard conversations are going to paint him in a bad light, especially since he hasn't played well in the last year plus. So he's still going to have a chance. I think that the team will give him a chance because he's still a potential asset for this team and has shown flashes of being a good MLB player. But I don't know. I probably would have advised against him making that Instagram post.
There was a little something that happened in the NHL that I would love to get your reaction to this week. Alexander Ovechkin made some history this past week and scored his 900th goal, but he almost didn't get the puck. And David, again, is going to throw this out on Twitter. Old friend Jordan Binnington was involved. Take a look at the video of Binnington trying to stuff the 900th goal of Alex Ovechkin down his pants, or I don't know if there's a pad or whatever. Luckily, the official came over and was like, no, 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 you are going to come and get this puck because that is a historic puck. So just give me your raw reaction to Jordan Binnington trying to steal Ovi's puck, which he did say he was going to give back, but let's be honest, that's only because he got caught.
Yeah. I was going to give it back. I just wanted to run it through my grundle first. Like, thanks. That's really cool, Jordan. Thanks, man. Really, really awesome. I was going to give it back to him. I just wanted it to touch my taint first. Why? Is that so bad? Come on. Pretty weird. You know what it reminded me of? That movie Road Trip? You seen the movie Road Trip?
Not in a long time.
They're going across the country and they stop at this diner. And the little guy, the little skinny guy, orders like pancakes or something, and he sends them back. And the chef just puts them in his pants. He's licking them. He's doing all da-da-da-da-da, brings them back. Just goes hammer time with the stuff down his pants. Like, he's basically, like, pleasuring himself with the pancakes. He brings them back and serves it to him and eats them. That's what I thought of when I saw Binnington doing that. I thought it was pretty funny. Binnington after the game. I figured I had an assist on one goal there. I turned the puck over. Didn't think he'd mind sharing it. I had full intention of giving it back to him. Sure you did. I kind of half believe him because everybody knew how close he was to 900. Everybody knew he could have gotten it in that game. And, you know, Binnington was counting him down in his mind. So I think he was trying to, you know, play a joke. And it's Binnington, so no one's going to actually believe that. But I think he must have known that what he should have done, and maybe this is what he did, pulled the Doug Minkiewicz. Right? You got like a stunt puck, and then when Ovechkin scores, you put the real puck down in your grundle, clutch it in betwixt your butt cheeks or whatever he was doing there, and then you pull out the fake puck, and you're like, ah, this is the puck. Here it is. Here's the Ovechkin puck, and you give it to him. And no one's ever going to know, right? How can they know? All pucks look the same, don't they? There's no distinguishing characteristics on any of these hockey pucks. Every single hockey puck looks the same. So I guess that sort of defeats the point. But then Binnington one day can be like, actually, this is the real puck. I have it, and that one you have is worthless, and it's fake, and it's just some puck I had in my pocket. This is the one that he scored the 900th goal on. But he's going to have to wait a while, and he's going to look like a real a-hole, which I think is where that puck ended up.
Oh, I don't know how to transition off of that, but I'm going to try. I actually had this in the back of my mind, and I just remembered it now. Have to go back to the media game, obviously, before the Celtics season started. And you talked about what you would do if you were in that game. You would get physical. You'd throw some elbows in there.
I would play cheap and dirty is what I would
exactly.
I would say,
so,
getting physical makes it sound like a good, like a noble athletic thing. I would just be tripping people. I'd be a total a-hole.
Yeah. So actually what I would love for you to do is construct your starting five from people in this building. All WEEI employees, who would be the starting five you would put together if you were coaching the EEI media to take on the Celtics coaches?
Okay, the WEEI media, I mean, we don't have a lot of people here, so it'd be slim pickings. But, and we're talking about like people who are good at basketball or people who I think will play dirty like I want them to, like who will follow my lead.
Hey, you're the coach. You're okay. Whatever play style
am
you
I like
want.
A player coach? Am I like
sure,
Bill Russell
you can,
here?
You could be a Bill Russell type.
Okay. Well, just in terms of basketball, I feel like we've done this before. Just in terms of basketball abilities, I got to go with Keefe. I would say Wiggy, but I saw Wiggy over the summer up in Guilford. And I told him, I was like, you know, Wiggy, we had this conversation on the show about who one-on-one, who I could take at the station in basketball. And I said that you were on the list of someone that I couldn't. He goes, nah, I can't. You could. You probably could. My ankles are terrible. He was, you know. Sounds like Mike Tyson, I guess, but he was like, no, I can't even play anymore. Like, my ankles are shot. I can barely move up and down the court. You beat me, which I still don't know about that.
Clean balls.
Even one-on-one, you know, because one-on-one, you're not running up and down the court. It's one-on-one. You're just inside the three-point line. And Wiggy could just back me down and score every single time. Like, I couldn't stop him, even with his bad ankles. It would be like George the Messiah against, you know, me. That's basically what it would be. So I think he'd still beat me. I also think that he's big enough that he could play dirty like I want him to. Same with Ted. And Ted's got a mean streak, too. You think Joe Mazzulla would have kept pressing after Ted sets like a big pick on him, just takes his head off? Because Ted would go out there headhunting. I remember I never did that because I was a skinny little runt when I played basketball. But like the big guys, They'd come on. They'd set a pick. They'd hold their arms right at your head. And if you didn't know they were there, if your teammates didn't call that out and you ran into it, you were taking an elbow right to the side of your head, which I did a few times. Yeah, it doesn't feel good. One time I was just out. I ran into this guy, took an elbow to the temple, and I was down on the ground. You can tell me everything that's happened since then has all been one dream, and I'm still lying on the floor right there, right now, today. And I believe you. I got hit that hard. So definitely Ted, definitely Wiggy, definitely Keefe. Be the last.
Blue, include yourself. That's four.
That's four. Okay, so it'd be that. It'd be that fifth spot. It'd be my number five.
Do you want to give Terp? Maybe
let me
some
just
redemption?
Stop. Let me do it. Okay. Terp? No, I watch Terp play. No. Oh, I love you, Terp, but no. It would have to be not Mego either. Mego was terrible at basketball. If you remember in that Fourier shootout thing, I mean, she was rough. Jones plays in the Y. But can Jones play the way I want him to? It's like Belichick. Like, I got to get these guys to play the way I want them to. Will he go out there and you know, get physical? Even if he did, would they even notice? Like, I could see Jones going up to, you know, God Sham God and throwing an elbow and Sham God not even feeling it because Jones's elbows are the size of the chopsticks. So maybe not him. I would go with Andy. I'd go with Andy. Andy would play there. Andy's in good shape. He's got a torn bicep, and he's scared to arm wrestle me, but he's in good shape, and I know he would play dirty. And he's short, so he could, like, undercut people and, like, have plausible deniability. Someone goes up for a dunk, he could run under them, you know, take their legs out, and just be like, hey, what do you want from me? I'm 4'6". Like, you know, that's all I can do. And maybe that would give us a little bit of grace. But, yeah, if I'm talking about, like, a team of guys playing dirty, me, Keith, Wiggy, Teddy and Andy. That would be my starting five. And me, of course, would be the starting five.
It's time to go behind the glass for the producer's point on the Christian Arcan Show. Here's Joe Braverman.
So a lot of these points involve me being the wet blanket, and I hate to do it again, but I do feel like this is going to be a Tampa win this Sunday over the Patriots. I think it will be close. I do think it will be close, but I think the big factor of the Bucs coming off the bye, I know their personnel is a little limited with no Bucky Irving at running back, no Chris Godwin or Mike Evans, but something about Baker Mayfield, fan. I've always been a fan of him, and I do think it's going to be, as I said, it's going to be close. It's going to be back and forth. I think it's a high-scoring shootout that I see Tampa winning by a final score of 35-30.
Okay. 35-30, Tampa Bay taking down the Patriots this weekend per wet blanket of the week, Mr. Joe Braverman. All right, quick break. We'll come back and wrap things up with clickbait.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
It's time for clickbait. This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
All right, couple of minutes left here, Christian Arcan Show. I mean, it's time for clickbait. Usually when we have clickbait, you have some sort of link or some video or some something that I happen to see over the course of that day. What I want to talk about tonight, though, is a tweet I saw from Walpole's prodigal son, Cam Schlittler, who you may remember from the wild card game where he absolutely dominated the Red Sox and then shook his ass right in Boston's face for the next week and a half. And was still talking about bleep Boston. He was someone was in the car, F Boston, he was saying all that. Well, Cam Schlittler decided that it was time to extend an olive branch to our fair city, to the Commonwealth in general. And he tweeted the following, asking for a moment of your time. That was what the tweet said. And then there was this picture. It was like the Notes app, you know, it was one of those type of things. And this is what Cam Schlittler had to say. He said, I love the city of New York because there's no organization or fan base I'd rather be a part of. Great start. I feed off those high and demanding expectations. It's something I learned growing up around the Boston area. That's that blue-collar mentality back home where success only comes through hard work and dedication. That's the Boston mindset, colon. Growing up in a proud city surrounded by championships. I feel that same sense of pride here in New York and am eager to deliver results for the fans who put their faith in this team. Anyone who knows me knows how highly I speak of Boston and how much I love the city. I knew how I'd be received starting that game. I didn't expect people from the area where I grew up to attack my family. Criticism is something I've always handled well, and that stuff doesn't bother me. It just caught me off guard. I know I've been vocal since the start, but I truly respect Boston and that organization. A rivalry is a rivalry, and my loyalty is with New York for as long as I'm here. New York and Boston are both part of who I am, and I'm fortunate to continue growing as a player connected to two great cities. I think that this was written by AI. I do. You want to know why? The dashes. There's dashes. He says, I feed off those high and demanding expectations, period. Then there's two dashes. It's something I learned growing up around the Boston area. There's another one a little bit later on. Criticism is something I've always handled well. That stuff doesn't bother me, dash, dash. It just caught me off guard. I don't think this whole thing is AI. I think Cam Schlittler asked ChatGPT, hey, ChatGPT, write something for me as like an apology to the city of Boston, but also don't turn my back on the Yankees. Like, I think he wanted to do something, but he wasn't quite sure exactly how to word it. And so, like many people, and this is just a thought, I mean, I may be wrong, I'm just saying, this is what it read like to me, with the grammar and the punctuation and all that stuff. It seemed like the type of ChatGPT punctuation that you see now and then. And I don't use ChatGPT hardly at all. I used it to make movie posters for the Dong Report, and that's basically it. I also asked ChatGPT what to do when a bird is trapped in your basement. I did ask ChatGPT because I wasn't totally sure about that either. Oh, also one time I had frost in the freezer. I have a freezer in the basement, brag. And there was frost on all the stuff. And I said, why is there frost? And it told me this is why you might have frost. And those are the three times I think I've ever used it. I'm not a big fan of it. However, people are using it for all sorts of stuff. People are using it for like wedding announcements. People are using it for anything you can write, really. I mean, it's just, you know, I saw someone trying to get out of an Airbnb fee, and they sent a message using all ChatGPT. So while I applaud Cam Schlittler for reaching out to the city he was raised in, or just outside of, a little more from the heart, a little less ChatGPT would be my recommendation. And that's all the time we have here tonight. I want to say thanks to Joe Braverman. Thanks to Chris Price. Great job. As always, I'm back on Sunday at 10 a.m. along with the gang Mego, Teddy, Chris Scheim, Tommy Kern, Wiggy, and you and everybody else for Football Sunday, Patriots and the Buccaneers taking you right up until kickoff. That's all the time here tonight. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Good night now.
That's it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3. Selección varía por tienda. Solo en tiendas selectas. Hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.